There are places that we can only go when humility is our guide. And we're hoping to get going. We're hoping that we're gonna get going to let humility guide us this morning. And before we do, and before we get into that, let me just welcome you guys one more time. Let me just say thanks for being here at Disciples. If this is your first time with us, welcome. We hope that you feel at home. There is a welcome brochure in the seat pocket in front of you. That's for you to take home. We're going to be anchoring in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be a little bit all over the place, but we're going to end up in Ephesians 4. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. You can also, if you have a smartphone and you don't have a Bible with you, go to YouVersion and download that. And we're going to be in Ephesians 4. And as you're turning there and as we're getting settled in here, let me just pray. And let's see what humility has in store for us this morning. Father, we just begin by saying we humbly submit ourselves to you this morning. We submit our ideas, we submit our ways, we submit this service, we submit this time, we submit this agenda, and we say, God, that only you know what is best for us this morning. So we ask, God, that you would have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help us to put our guards down for a moment and exercise this muscle of humility. Because we're going to find that it's not a weakness. It is a strength that promotes fruitfulness and health in our relationships as we submit mutually one to another, looking out for what's best for each other and not ourselves. Father, we love you. We bless you. In your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Guys, when we elevate Christ in our relationship, it sets us up on a path that promotes less of us and more of him. This cultivates a life of submission. That's what we're working on, a life of submission. With all of these goals that we've been talking about, it's going to end up with us, by us. It's going to work out by us submitting ourselves to that process. And when we enter into relationship with one another, we live out this kingdom perspective of mutual submission one to another, outdoing one another in making one low to lift the other up. Wouldn't that be an amazing goal if we looked at our relationships as an opportunity to outdo one another in submission? We outdo one another in doing what's right for the other person. How? Because as we press into submitting to God as Christ followers and exercise this way of putting someone above yourself, we become a community that lives in this reality that we're not here to be served, but to serve. This was Jesus, right? This was Jesus. He understood the importance of humility. He understood that the opposite of humility was going to be pride, and that pride is a dangerous and hurtful thing in relationship. Humility is pride's kryptonite. If you guys are Superman fans, then you would know that kryptonite is the only thing that can take Superman out, depending on which comic book you read. And I've read a few. We know that humility is pride's kryptonite. In our relationship where pride tries to have its way and we try to put ourselves first, humility reminds us that God is first, submitted to him in his ways, humbling ourselves, which promotes his kingdom's response. Our aim goes from having to be on top and winning to get to our end in every situation, to allowing room in our relationships for a conversation about what God's end might be. We don't like that idea of surrendering. We don't like the idea of submitting. We don't like the idea of not achieving our end in certain things. And when we are put in a position to do that, when we're asked of that in our lives, then our defenses start to rise up, which is why Jesus made it so plain, so incredibly plain about how important humility was. Jesus was always washing the feet of someone else. He was always having dinner with the lowly and the lost and the hurt. Jesus was always about submitting to his Father's will. This idea of surrendering and submitting and not achieving our ends sometimes raises those defenses in our flesh. And that's when we know the right thing to do is to submit, come underneath, to be humble, and to seek for there to be reconciliation by not trying to impose yourself, but to say, what's God wanting to do in this situation? Why does humility promote good relationships? Because relationships rooted in humility have people that don't complain as much. When you look at relationships that are built around humility, you're going to find people, the type of people that make that relationship work are the ones who don't complain as much. And the reason is because they just don't think about themselves. They just don't have time to think about themselves enough. When you live out of humility, you're not worried about your end as much anymore. Relationships rooted in humility have people that don't have time to compare themselves to everyone else because they're always behind others pushing them forward. Relationships rooted in humility. Humility, pride comes from when we're always comparing ourselves with someone else. When we're always comparing ourselves to our friend or to that marriage or to these kids or to whatever the case might be, you don't have time for that when you're too busy, when you're so busy pushing others forward. There's no self-promotion when you're busy lifting others up. Relationships rooted in humility have people that want to make the other better. The proud drag their friends down in relationships. Pride does not speak to people the same way that humility does. Humility makes room for mistakes. Humility makes room for errors. It encourages the other person, and it doesn't tear them down. Humility is a profound key that unlocks the doors in our lives that cultivate and nurture healthy relationships. I'm telling you, there is power in this idea of humility, being humble with one another, tender-hearted with one another. These ways are counterculture. These ways of humility stand in huge contrast to the social muscles that we've used to develop to protect ourselves, that make sense to this kingdom that we've just grown to accept over time. Maybe it's the way we saw our parents grow up and do relationship. Maybe it's the way we've seen our friends do relationship. Maybe it's the latest thing we saw on a talk show during the day or the latest book we just read. And we've just grown to accept these little things as ways that we do relationship. That makes sense to this kingdom. But his kingdom is much different. The things he calls us to have healthy relationship are very countercultural to the things that maybe this world would say are important. But in the famous words of Jesus himself, when contrasting the ways of the world and how his disciples, you and I, are to be, he says, not so with you. Where this kingdom says, you need to make sure your voice is heard, Jesus says, not so with you. When this kingdom says, you're right in this, and you need to make sure everyone knows you're right, and Jesus says, not so with you. And this kingdom says, you know what? Come hot, you know, whether it damages your relationship with your kids or your wife or whatever, you need to just be honest and say what you need to say. He said, not so much with you. It can't be that same way with us because of who we belong to. Humility is a cornerstone in our relationship with God. Our growth in this virtue begins with how we relate to God. We praise him. Think about our relationship with God and how it is all about humility. We praise him. We submit to him. We sacrifice for him. We give of ourselves. We submit to his teaching and his ways. We humble ourselves and pray and ask for forgiveness. We live a life that we're constantly laying down so that he can lift us up. We become less and he becomes more. It's in our very nature, in our relationship with God, that shows that that same humility is how we should be relating to one another. Humility is a key that unlocks many doors in our relationships. First one that it unlocks is it unlocks the doors that reveal God's ways. Humility has a way of opening the door for revelation. Because it's a spiritual discipline that says, I don't know everything. My understanding is limited. My sight can be short. And God, only you know what is best. Humility in our relationship unlocks this door where God can reveal himself in what we're going through. The enemy wants us to have this I know everything mentality. You know that, right? The enemy wants us to have this I know everything mentality instead of this teach me mentality. Whereas a couple or as a friend or with your kids, you decide, guys, we don't know everything that's going on right now. And you know what? It feels as though we're going down the wrong road. I want God to reveal himself in this. And we submit to that rather than trying to get our last word out or get our end achieved. We say, Lord, I don't know everything in this situation and it doesn't feel like we're going down the same road or the right road. So Lord, teach me. That only happens when you're able to humble yourself and see the power that comes from it. Humility unlocks the door of trust in relationships. Trust is developed when one to another, we demonstrate to each other, we promote one another, we go after lifting each other up. John the Baptist in his ministry didn't try to self-promote. He was always pointing to Jesus. This was a job for someone who was going to be very trustworthy. Amen? And so when we show that one to another, we're developing trust. That person, that friend of mine, that husband, that wife, that we are, I can trust them. Because whenever we have something going on, whenever there's something we talk about, it's not about getting to their end, but we're always coming together, mutually submitting to one another, and hearing each other's ideas and hearing each other's heart. Forgiveness is unlocked when you go after humility. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That just says it all. When you are exercising that muscle of humility in your relationships, it becomes pretty easy to begin to start forgiving each other. A desire to forgive one another. Another door that's unlocked is a desire to lift up and not to tear down. And the enemy hates this practice in our relationship. Humility is the building blocks to reconciliation in our relationships. And we should want to mend rather than tear apart. The enemy knows that all he has to do in our relationships is to plant the seed of pride. Because humility invites the favor of God. We see that in James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. The enemy loves to plant that seed of pride in our relationships because as long as we go after that seed, if we water that seed, then we find ourselves far from the favor of God in that. The last thing the enemy wants is for us to see what God's end is in that relationship. You ever feel like you've ever been beating your head against a wall in certain situations? You ever feel like you're always getting to the same problematic place in a relationship that you just can't get past? Like you just are beating your head against the same exact situation. You're coming to the same conclusions. You're coming to the same problem, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your friends, whether it's with your brothers or sisters or your kids. You feel like you're coming to the same exact problem. Have you ever wondered if maybe the problem isn't the problem, but that it's pride getting in the way of God becoming more in that situation? That you don't have the right answer all the time. That you can't argue your way out of everything. And just because you talked more, maybe you talked louder, that it doesn't necessarily mean that you've won or even that you're right. You guys know that, right? The louder you yell or talk, the more words you use doesn't necessarily mean you won. That at the end of the day, sometimes, it will come to a submission to God, mutual submission to one another, putting yourself and your agenda aside, pausing long enough to see that our need to be on top comes at the cost of tearing each other down. That we make ourselves low, not weak. I say it again. That we make ourselves low, not weak. You see, humility is strength. It's pride that makes us weak. That we have to be right, that we have to be strong, that we have to show our way. That, to me, It's this sin that the enemy uses to get us to look out for number one rather than relying on number one. Did that sound cheesy? It sounded cheesy as it came out. This sin that the enemy uses to get us to look out for number one rather than relying on number one. Grace is bestowed on those who surrender themselves. To me, that's worth going after humility. 1 Corinthians chapter 59, it said, I am the least of the apostles. Ephesians 3:8, I am the very least of all the saints. 1 Timothy 1:15, I am the foremost of sinners. These are all quotes from the Apostle Paul, who I would not associate the word weak with. I would associate surrender with. I would associate love for others. I would associate a desire to put God first, even if it comes at the cost of his own life. But nothing about weakness comes to mind. You see, he got a hold of something. He got a hold of an understanding that made humility like this possible. He understood this one thing, that humility stems from understanding who Jesus is and who we're called to be like. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 is a lengthy verse, so just follow along or just listen. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I want to read just a couple of these verses from another translation from the Message Bible. I like going there every now and again. It's fun. It says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. And not agree the way you might be thinking agree, like with my politics, with what I believe, all, but being of like-minded in the purposes of Christ Jesus. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Humility stems from understanding who Jesus is and who we're called to be like. Scriptures gives us a blueprint for how this looks. And again, finally, to Ephesians chapter 4. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Through these scriptures that have just been read, whether it's Ephesians 4, or reading through Philippians, hearing about how Jesus was and is calling us to be, there are some characteristics of people rooted in humility. Some things that you could think about, these muscles that we were talking about earlier, that maybe it's time to exercise a little bit more. And I've got 7 here. There's probably more than 7, and there might be one of the 7 you don't agree with. But these are the 7 that I pulled from as far as when I think of people striving for humility, especially in their relationships. Here's what I see. First, they put Jesus first. The goal of the humble is to see Jesus glorified. John the Baptist did this well. It says in verse 26 in John chapter 3, so John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going to him instead of coming to us. And John replied, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know plainly, I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy and at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. A characteristic of the humble is that they're always putting Jesus first. And in their relationships, they're wanting to see Jesus glorified. But it is funny how people in our lives try to help us justify pride, right? The very beginning, so John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, Rabbi, and they're not coming to us anymore. They're going to that Jesus guy across the Jordan. And those are not healthy relationships to have, by the way. And when we're tempted to do those things and to think about lifting ourselves up instead of lifting God up in those moments, then we need to stop and ask if the result of that conversation, the result of that decision to put yourself on top, if that decision to make yourself right at any cost comes out, and if that does not, the result of those things don't glorify God, then stop. The second characteristic of the humble is they listen and don't rely on their own wisdom. It takes humility to go past just hearing the words of God and actually listen and act upon his word. Again, not being so prideful that we think we know better. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my command. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them as for hidden treasure. We ask ourselves, are we a people in our relationships where we're not relying on our own understanding, but we're intentionally listening for what God might have to say? The third characteristic I see is they're always seeking. Humility leads us to a place of spiritual curiosity. Knowing we will never have it all figured out, there is a constant hunger to seek more. And not so when you're full of pride, because when you're full of pride, you don't need to know more. You don't need to seek for more. It's when you're humble, it's when you're working on that muscle of humility that you're constantly reminded that you don't know everything and that it's going to take us seeking God in our relationship. Psalms 105:4 says, search for the Lord and his strength, for his strength. Continually seek him. Just moving along here right now. The fourth characteristic that I see in the humble is that they take time to be thankful, lifting Jesus and others up. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 17 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its riches fill your life. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him and God the Father. Again, when we're praising God, when we're developing a heart of thankfulness, it kind of rubs off in our relationship. We start to be really thankful for those who are in our lives. We begin to show thankfulness to those who have gone through the good and the bad and ugly with us. Thankfulness, not looking for praise so much, but extending praise one to another. Fifth characteristic that I see in the humble is that they accept feedback or correction. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, and I love this part, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Just lays it right out there. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Be humble means you accept that feedback. You accept correction one to another. We're there to help each other grow in this journey of Christ-likeness. The sixth thing is that they repent and they forgive. You Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I mean, that's one of the ultimate places to be in a relationship when you're working on humility. That you find that place where we need to be a people, a community who seeks to forgive. And every time getting quicker at being able to ask for and extend forgiveness. Seventh and final thing this morning is that they ask for help. Isaiah 30, 18, verse 19 says, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. Now, this one for me is the one that I need to work that muscle on a little bit more. It's something that I struggle with, that I really want to get better. So many of us in our relationships, whether it be a marriage relationship or relationship with your kids or whatever that might be, of asking for help. Whether it's asking God for help together to see what he has to say about what you're going through, or that you ask help from someone you trust, other friends in your life that are seeking these same goals, and saying, we really need some help. Pride would say, don't ask for that help. Pride would say, you've got this. You'll get it figured out. You can do this all on your own. And humility says, no, I need to ask. I can't do this on my own. I'm beating my head against the same wall every time and coming to the same conclusion. There must be another way to do it. I'm going to ask for some help. I'd like to ask the worship team and the prayer team to come up. As I just share a few closing thoughts, you guys, and get ready to pray. Guys, in this kingdom, this worldly kingdom, there is no pride found in surrender. But surrendering to God and his ways is the breeding ground for humility in our lives. By surrendering to God, by humbling ourselves first to him, and then humbling ourselves and surrendering in the relationships that God has put in our lives, we're gonna see powerful things happen. We're going to see relationships that were once torn apart for horrible, horrible reasons. Men be men. We're going to see marriages that have been strained come back to the fullness of what God intended. We're going to see kids and their parents have better communication because they're willing to submit rather than trying to be on top of every conversation. Powerful things happen. There is no weakness found in humility. It's such a strength that Jesus made it a point to bring up over and over and over again. That he, though being the Son of God, showed it in so many ways. There's no reason why we as his people should not be exercising this muscle. I want to read a quote. It's a hard quote to read or even to try to accept, but it has, even though it seems so far out there, as far as something I can't attain, it's something that I want to strive for. It says, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is for me to have no trouble, never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or sore or disappointed. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and be at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around is trouble. It is the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ's redemptive work on Calvary's cross, manifested in those of his own who are definitely subject to the Holy Spirit. When we subject ourselves, when we submit, when we humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit, when we humble ourselves to who Jesus Christ is and what he has done, and we realize he's calling us to the same type of life. Then this idea of humility, being humble, becomes something we desire in our relationships. It's not something we're afraid to touch, not something we're afraid to talk about, not something we don't want to let ourselves go in, but it becomes something we are eager to dive into because it is going to make our relationships and those we love, those we do life with, that sphere of influence that God has put in our life, and it becomes so much more. It stops being about you and it becomes about his people. Would you guys stand with me this morning? I'm going to pray and I want to ask just a couple things. We have a prayer team up here that loves you guys. They pray for you guys. And this morning, a couple simple. Maybe there's an area that you heard this morning that you haven't found yourself submitting to. There's an area in your marriage that you have not submitted that type of humility to. There's a place in that relationship with your friend that you just haven't submitted to. There's that place in that relationship with your children that you just haven't gotten to yet. And it's gonna take you and I submitting ourselves, making ourselves low, and saying, God, what is your end in this? Teach me. Remove pride that stops me from engaging in a full and complete relationship with those around me. If that's you this morning, come on up and ask someone for prayer. Let them pray over that point that we've talked about this morning that maybe you're still struggling. And maybe we're having a hard time humbling ourselves one to another because we're still finding ourselves in that battle of humbling ourselves and submitting ourselves to God. Maybe that's you this morning. There's just that area that it's like, God, I'm still in control of it. I still haven't been able to let go of the reins in this area of my life. Maybe this morning is that morning that, God, you're finally going to release the reins of that aspect in your life and say, God, you take control. I humbly submit my ways to you. And I say, God, teach me your ways. And then maybe this morning, nothing spoke to you. And there's just something else going on. Prayer team's up here to pray for you. They'd love to hear what's going on. They'd love to pray with you and stand with you. Pray for you. Father, I hope that we don't look at humility the same way. I pray that we look at humility the way that Jesus looked at humility. I pray that we look for opportunities to, spiritually speaking, wash someone else's feet. That we find ways to make ourselves low. That we find ways to communicate one to another our love for them. Our desire, our real desire to see them succeed. That we find opportunities this week where we know we're right, or at least we think we're right. And we submit that to you, God. And we say, instead of what I want out of this situation, God, what would glorify you? How can I humble myself to raise my wife up? How can I humble myself to lift my husband up? How can I humble myself to lift my children up? How can I humble myself to see my friends know that my friends would know that I love them, that I desire nothing but the best for them? Make this a desire in all of our hearts this morning. Father, we bless you. We love you. Father, speak to hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, nudge hearts. There's nothing like the physical description of humility when we say, you know what? I don't care what the person to the left or to the right of me is thinking. I'm going to stand. I'm going to walk. I'm going to take action. I'm going to go get prayer. I'm going to have somebody pray over me for this area of my life. I humble myself and say, God, reveal yourself to me in this. Father, let that be this morning. Let that be this morning. In your precious name we pray. We're going to worship a bit longer, and as Ellie leads us, find your way to the front. Find your way to one of these incredible prayer warriors and ask them for prayer this morning.
Till heaven's open and we arrive in you.
God is good, amen? As a family, it's that time where we get to humble ourselves more. It's time to sow back into what God is doing in this place and give our tithes and offerings. And I'd love to invite the usher team to come forward and for us to prepare our gifts. We're so thankful for what God is doing in this place, what we see Him doing in this community. And we give cheerfully, we give joyfully to the work that God is doing. Amen? Well, let's do that together. And Ellie will lead us a bit longer. And as you go today, just be blessed. Luke's going to be up in just a moment to send you off with a couple closing announcements. And I just want to say I love you guys and bless you guys.
Amen. We're so glad you guys are here with us this Sunday. My name's Luke. If you don't know me, thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us. Hopefully when you walked in, you got one of our welcome brochures. I just want to go over a quick few things. One, in 2 weeks, we have our big church birthday. A happy birthday. 9 years for Disciples. So make sure you take these little flyers. I guess if you could call it a flyer, it's the smallest flyer I've ever seen. But, like, hand these out to people. They can keep them in their pockets, I guess, because they're small enough. And, like, let's make sure we pack this place out for that big party in a couple of weeks. A couple of youth things. Right here after church, after we grab some grub, we're going to meet in the youth auditorium for our youth group. And in 2 weeks, we also have a really fun corn maze adventure at Cool Patch Pumpkin Farm. Also, if you guys have been around here, you know at Christmas time we turn this place into a winter wonderland, and a lot of that is because of Corey Mensing. And so right after service, she's going to be gathering the troops to help her do that transformation here. So if you're interested in helping, please meet with her after church, because she could really use that help. Also, last but not least, we found a phone in the bathroom, a Samsung phone in the women's bathroom. I've been told that all the text messages were read. So if you want to show your face and pick it up, it's in the sound booth back there. But all jokes aside, go in peace today and this week. Oh, we found the phone. So, all right. Have a great rest of your Sunday.